Listen to it fizz.
Alka-Seltzer for headache.
Alka-Seltzer for acid indigestion.
Alka-Seltzer for cold distress.
Alka-Seltzer presents the Quiz Kids.
Ready, class? Here's question number one for today. In all probability, you will run into names similar to the following in a publication at the first of the year. What would the publication be? The names are The Sun, The Moon, Tiusco, Woden, Thor, Frigga, and Seater.
Well, what do you say, folks? Can you name the publication right off? Well, let's find out if you and the youngsters here in our classroom come up with the same answer. And here they are, the Quiz Kids and the chief quizzer himself, Joe Kelly.
Bob Murphy, and hello, everyone. Well, here we are with another Quiz Kids competitive question session, and since this is the day after Christmas, folks, it may be a little difficult to get your mind off the fine present Santa left under the tree, but we're going to ask you to go right along with the Quiz Kids and see how many of our questions you can answer, too. So let's get busy on them right away. Here we go with the roll call, children. Lonnie?
I'm Lonnie Lundy. I'm 13 years old and in the 8th grade at Lincoln School in Park Ridge, Illinois.
Joel?
I'm Joel Tupperman. I'm 12 years old in 8th grade in the Volta School in Chicago.
Patrick?
I am Patrick Olin Conlon. I'm 11 years old and 7B at the Fort Dearborn School in Chicago.
Ruthie?
I'm Ruthie Duskin. I'm 14 years old and 3B at South Shore.
Melvin?
I'm Melvin Miles. I'm 5 years old. I go to kindergarten in Nord Park School.
That's fine. Speaking of Christmas presents, Lonnie tells me that he's mighty happy with a speedometer for his bike, and I'll just bet it's a dandy, too. And Santa Claus left Joel a watch, his very first one. That's wonderful, isn't it? And Patrick says his prize present is a lot of additions to his lead soldier collection, and Ruthie's all excited about a dollhouse that her sister Bunny received. And, oh, say, by the way, Melvin, I didn't get to ask you about your favorite present. Did Santa Claus treat you pretty nice?
Oh, yes, he brought me a tool chest, and my daddy was just like Santa Claus. What I've been always wanting was an electric train, and I come down Christmas morning, and I really see a big track. It was all fixed up already, and I said it was Santa Claus that brought me that, and it was my dad.
Oh, your daddy? Well, what do you know about that? Well, as I said a few minutes ago, let's try to forget Christmas presents now, that is, if that's possible, and see what we can do with that first question from Joan C. Earle of Houston, Texas. She says, in all probability, you will run into names similar to the following in a publication at the first of the year. What do these names suggest, and what would the publication be? The names are The Sun, The Moon, Tiusco, Woden, Thor, Frigga, and Seater. Now we have four hands up, and Pat's hand was first. All right, Pat.
Well, the publication would be the 1949 calendar.
That's right.
Because they are the names of the days of the week, such as the sun is Sunday, the moon Monday, Tuisco Tuesday, Woden Wednesday,
yeah.
Thor Thursday, Frigga Friday, and Seater Sunday.
That's
Saturday,
right.
I mean. That's
absolutely right, Pat. Right. Yeah. Now, that was nice going, and we're giving Joan C. Earle of Houston, Texas, a fine Zenith Transoceanic Shortwave Radio for sending in that question. One of these outstanding portable radios is always Alka-Seltzer's reward when the Quiz Kids answer your question correctly. If they miss, Alka-Seltzer's reward is the magnificent Zenith radio phonograph combination with the new Cobra tone arm and two FM bands. Either Zenith radio is a set you'll be proud to own. So get your questions in, friends. Send them to Quiz Kids, Chicago. Now, since this season is associated with fireplaces and the home hearth, John Wilson of New York wants to know how many stories or poems you can remember in which a fireplace is mentioned. Patrick?
Well, the story is that there's the Cricket on the Hearth,
mm-hmm,
by Charles Dickens.
Yes, and
it's also an opera.
Uh-huh.
By the way.
And Ruthie?
Well, in Cinderella, she always sat in the chimney corner.
Yeah.
And then in the poem, The Night Before Christmas, of course, the chimney played a very important part.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And Melvin?
Well, the Three Little Pigs, I know, because the pig tried to kick the wolf. wolf, so he put some boiling water in, and he let the wolf fall into the boiling water.
That's right, yes, uh-huh, Sam, that happened. And now, since we'll soon be ringing out the old and ringing in the new, let's see how many stories or poems you can think of which mention a bell. Ruthie?
Well, Dick Whittington, when he ran away, he heard the bells of the town singing Dick Whittington, future mayor of London Town, something on that order, mm-hmm. and that changed his whole life.
All right, fine. And Joel?
Well, I believe there's a poem, The Elegy in a Country Churchyard, where there's a bell.
Well, possibly you're right on that score. Joel and Lonnie?
Well, there's several poems, like Paul Revere's Ride, I forget who it was, but he went up into the bell tower and hung out a lantern to tell Paul Revere how the British were coming. And also there's many songs. Of course, they're poems, really, when you get right down to it, like Bell-Bottom Trousers mm-hmm. and The Serenade yeah. of the Bells and some of those. And also there's a book, The Bells of Lydon and Sing.
Well, now, those are all very good. And, Patrick?
Well, there's the story, The Miracle of the Bells, and then yes. there's the poem, The Bells, by Edgar Allan Poe.
Yes, uh-huh.
And then in Longfellow's The Children Hour, it says, I'll keep you in the bell tower of my heart.
Yes.
And there are a lot of bells there.
Fine. And Melvin?
Well, I can't exactly think of a really story, but I could think of a song. A song, it would be Jingle Bells.
Well, now, say, now there, oh, and a very important one, too, at this time of the year. Well, that's fine, kids. Those were all very, very good answers. Now, this music question is from Mrs. E. Allen Brelsford of Dayton, Ohio. Each of the songs which Howard Peterson will play should suggest a current story in the news. Now, here's the first one. Lonnie?
That's a, well, I know it's used as a radio jingle. I forget the real name of it.
Oh, you must have the real name
Peter,
of it, though.
Peter Pumpkin Eater.
That's what it is.
As you want a current story that mentions something like that?
In the news.
Well,
all
how
right.
current do you want it?
Well, just make it easy on yourself, Lonnie.
Well, pumpkins remind you of Halloween. That isn't too recent, but...
No. Pumpkins, though, you've got the key word there, Patrick.
Well, that would be the microfilm that was found the pumpkins by the House Un-American Activities Committee.
That's right.
That's
very, very good, uh-huh. And now then, let's see about this next one. Patrick?
Well, that someday my prince will come, and that naturally would be the prince that was born to Princess Elizabeth of England.
That's right.
Charles.
That's right,
Charlie.
Prince Charles, uh-huh. And here's the, here's another one here. All right, Howard. Lonnie?
That's on a slow boat to China. That would probably be the aid that, or the Civil War in China.
Yes,
or
uh-huh.
the aid that's being planned by the United States.
That's right, yeah. Melvin, what were you going to say,
Sam? Well, I couldn't say exactly. I didn't understand the question, but I could say the name of that song. I'd like to get you to a slow boat to China.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, well, I'm glad that you made sure about that, because we don't want to leave anything up in the air, do we? Now, this question is from Mrs. Ruth Long of Massillon, Ohio. It'll be a long, long time before any of you boys can think of growing beards, but let's see if you can identify these mentioned in the following quotations. You must get 2 out of 3 on this one. The beard on his chin was as white as the snow. Lonnie?
That's in A Visit from St. Nicholas by...
So?
And, so the creature, of course, would be the one and only Santa Claus.
Oh, the one and only. Yes, sirree. Now, this next one here. When, to his astonishment, he found his beard had grown a foot long. Ruthie?
Would that be Rip Van Winkle?
Rip Van Winkle is correct, uh-huh. And see what you can do with this third part now. Ah, Pyramus, what beard were I best to play it in? I will discharge it in either your straw-colored beard, your orange tawny beard, your purple and grain beard, or your French crown color beard, your perfect yellow. Ruthie?
Well, I imagine that would be from the Midsummer Night's Dream,
that's
in which
right.
The play was put on of Pyramus and Thisbe.
All right, who
I
said
think,
that?
I think the leader of the troop, or would it be Bottom?
It would be Bottom, that's right, absolutely right. Uh-huh. Mr. Richard J. Currier of Syracuse, New York, wonders how many of you kids have been giving some thought to the New Year's resolutions you'll be making this week. And if you haven't, you'd better do so right now. For in just about a minute, I'm going to ask you for them. And during that minute, Bob Murphy wants to talk to you folks who have never tried Alka-Seltzer for the relief of headaches.
You bet I do, Joe. And friends, the next time you have a headache or someone in your family has one, just drop one or two Alka-Seltzer tablets into a glass of water. Watch it bubble up and dissolve, and then drink it. You'll be amazed and delighted at how quickly this glass of sparkling Alka-Seltzer brings relief from the pain and distress of your headache. It's not like taking pills at all. It's so pleasant to take, so gentle and soothing, yet so fast in relieving the pain that you'll be delighted, because your headache will be relieved almost before you know it. Now, if you're one of the few people who have never taken Alka-Seltzer for headache pain, the next time you have a headache, all we ask you to do is try it. Alka-Seltzer will do the rest. If Alka-Seltzer does not please you, your money will be refunded. So ask your druggist for Alka-Seltzer and try it for amazingly fast relief of headaches or acid indigestion or the distress of colds. We know that if you will try it, you'll never be without it in your home. Because there is nothing quite like Alka-Seltzer.
Now let's see what New Year's resolutions you children are considering for 1949. We'll start off with Patrick.
Well, I have resolved to be a better person all around, help my family more, and keep the friends I have and make some new ones. And also, if I have any complaints about the government, I'll write to my congressman.
Oh, you will? Oh, that's cute. And Ruthie?
Well, I also want to be a better person, correct my faults and everything. And I want to make a special effort to get up 5 minutes earlier each morning, as my mother tells me, so I can make my bed. And also so I won't have to dash to school with my coat half on and half off. And also, finally, I want to make a very, very special effort that next year I'm going to start very early saving up money for Christmas presents.
Well, good for you. And Lonnie?
Well, I'm going to try to be a little more helpful and courteous, and I want to keep my room a little neater than it is. And my main resolution is resolve that I promise in 1949 to keep my other resolutions for once.
Oh, fine. Well, wow, that's a dandy, yeah. And Joel?
Well, I think I'll resolve not to wear out the knees of my pants so much for my mother's sake.
Oh.
And, I'm not always very prompt. You know, I generally have the habitual reply, wait a minute.
Oh, I
so
see.
So I think this year I'll correct that fault.
Oh, fine. Mm-hmm. And Melvin?
Well, I realize that I'm, you know, only 5 years old and I can't help it.
Yes.
And I do get
And of course, he can't. Now he really can't. All right, Melvin, go ahead.
Well, I'll help him a little more or less more, you know, because I can't do much now. I go to school and everything. But I think it's going to be more of an effort for me to do it. And I'll be going to first grade because I'll be going all day.
Oh, I see. Well, haven't you got one resolution that's sort of uppermost in your mind that
Yes. You... if I do feel like it, well, even if I... You know, don't feel like doing it, I'll do it. I'll stay home and help my mother do everything.
Oh, fine. Well, that's a very, very helpful one. Uh-huh. Now, you kids will have to know something about radio newscasters to answer this question from Mrs. Bessie Caldwell of Denver, Colorado. I'll give you the words that are similar in meaning to the names of well-known news announcers, and you are to identify these radio personalities. First, an angel on a stove. Ruthie.
Well, that would be Gabriel Heater.
Gabriel Heater, that's right, Ruthie. Good for you. And this next one is a sports announcer. Now listen, an assessment that looks serious. Ruthie again.
Bill Stern.
Bill Stern. Well, what do you know about that? Now, watch out for this third one. An English policeman with a fish. Lonnie.
Well, an English policeman is a Bobby, so it'd be Bobby something, and probably the name of a fish or something.
Well, yes, probably. What does that give you
any
ideas?
Well, anyone whose first name is Bobby, that'd be Robert.
All right, now, Joel.
Robert Trout.
Bob Trout, right, yes.
This question in our Alka-Seltzer question box comes from Phyllis Colbert of Chicago, Illinois, kids. Let's see how much of a house you can build using geographical terms and places for the parts. For example, you might use the Golden Gate from San Francisco. Now, that's just a rough idea. Lonnie?
Well, in New York there, the Finger Lakes, well, some of these modern designs, you know, these modern homes have... things arranged in strange shapes or something. You could have lamps in the shape of a hand. I've seen some of them.
Yes.
Like that to decorate your home. And also, you could use in almost any islands, you could have, I've seen some of these tables or something with a little decoration in the center, and that could almost be comparable to an island.
Well, yes, that's true. And, Patrick?
Well, you might use the Arch of Triumph for a door.
A door, now.
And or the Eiffel Tower for the top.
For the top,
yes.
You
might convert it into a chimney, although that's not very possible. And then, if you were in danger of attack, you could use the Great Wall of China.
Yes, you could. Yeah,
that's
et cetera, huh? And, Joel?
Well, if you wanted a paint job, you could use the White House. Or if you wanted a swimming hole in the middle of the house, like some homes in California do, you could take the Great Lakes.
The Great Lakes, yes, sure. And Ruthie?
Well, you could use the Crabtree Corners for the corners of your houses. That's not really a geographic place, but it's in the comic strips. And then you could, for the walls of your house, you could use Wall Street.
Wall Street, yes, for the wall. That's wonderful. And Lonnie?
Well, the Straits of Magellan, wouldn't want to have your house exactly... crooked or anything, and the straights, you could have, the halls.
Yes, straight halls, yeah, that's all right. And Patrick?
Well, if you were an arguer, and you wanted to go and argue with somebody somewhere, you could go to a place where there's always arguments, the Senate, the United States Senate.
Well, all right. And, Joel?
Well, if you wanted a piggy bank, you could take the Treasury from Washington.
Yes, you could. And Ruthie?
Well, there's a place in Russia, the Steppes. A section of Russia, the steps, and that would be your staircase.
That's right. Well, I think that was that's very good. Kids, we've practically got the whole house built with a fence around it and everything, haven't we? I want you to try and get two out of three parts of this Bible question from Mrs. Paul Howell of Charlotte, North Carolina. If the following biblical characters were school teachers, what subjects might they teach? First, Deborah. What, Patrick?
Well, Deborah was a judge.
So?
So she'd teach law.
Law, right, uh-huh. And how about Boaz? Joel?
Well, wasn't Boaz Deborah's general? So he'd teach...
No, Joel.
Oh, wait a second. Boaz was the... No, he wasn't the one with the donkey either.
Well...
Boaz was Ruth's husband.
Well,
I guess he'd teach how to be a good husband.
Well, that's very good, Ruthie.
Well, he was also a farmer, and that would, he would teach farming.
That's right,
and
agriculture, uh-huh. And how about Samson? All right, Lonnie?
Well, he'd probably teach physical education or something, because he was a strong man.
Yes, that's right, uh-huh. And, you know, speaking of teachers, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all you pupils all over the country for the many, many wonderful letters you sent into the Quiz Kids Best Teacher Contest. It is really touching to read these letters and realize how much a good teacher can mean to a child and to realize how many good teachers there are in this country. Our judges are facing a long, difficult task, and it will be quite a while before they finish their work, but we'll announce the winners as soon as we possibly can. Now, a few questions back, we were talking about the brand new year we're going to welcome this week, and here's Bob Murphy with some timely advice.
Yes, it is timely, Joe, and friends, here it is. Check your Alka-Seltzer supply. Yes, before the folks gather at your house next Friday evening to watch the old year out, be sure you have plenty of Alka-Seltzer on hand. Late refreshments, irregular hours, smoking too much, all these things can add up to unpleasant headache or acid indigestion, and that's certainly no way to begin a brand new year. But as you know, if you've ever tried Alka-Seltzer, you don't have to suffer along with these annoying ailments. A glass of sparkling Alka-Seltzer contains sodium acetyl salicylate, one of the world's most effective pain relievers to give you amazingly fast relief from a headache. And Alka-Seltzer's alkalizing agents can give you equally amazing, fast, effective relief from the discomfort of acid indigestion. So remember, friends, to feel better fast whenever you suffer from the distress of a headache or acid indigestion, take Alka-Seltzer. And why not check your supply now? Don't forget, if those tablets are down to four, it's time to buy some more Alka-Seltzer.
Now, kids, without paper and pencil, of course, try this question from Florence E. Wright of Lexington, Illinois. What would be the result if you multiplied 99 by 99, added 99 and divided by 99, then subtracted 99 and added 99? Ruthie?
I think it'd be 1.
Well, no, Joel?
It'll be 100.
100 is absolutely right. James Adams Clark of Waterloo, Wisconsin, supposes a lot of people may be having a fancy New Year's dinner this week, but he wants to know what people in stories ate these delicate morsels. Who ate a generous serving of oysters that had their shoes on? Patrick?
Well, that was the walrus and the carpenter.
In what?
In the Alice in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll.
Well, Ruthie?
That was in Through the Looking Glass by Lewis
Carroll. That's right, Through the Looking Glass, uh-huh. What monster insisted upon having 7 beautiful maidens and 7 handsome youths? Joel?
Well, I forget its exact name. It was the one that Theseus killed. It was the Minotaur in Crete. You see, when the king's son of Crete, Minos' son, was visiting Athens, he was accidentally killed, and since Crete was more powerful than Athens, as tribute, the Athenians were required to send 7 youths and 7 maidens to be chosen by lot to Crete to be devoured, but in one of those shipments, Theseus got snuck in, and Adrian, the queen's daughter, helped them kill the Minotaur.
Uh-huh, that's right, uh-huh. Now, who ate 169 pancakes? Melvin?
I think that was Little Black Sambo.
Oh, your thinker is working very good. That's just who it was. Yes, sir, Little Black Sambo. Little 12-year-old Marianne Hart of Boise, Idaho, says she often does babysitting, and after the children are in bed and her school homework is done, it often becomes very tedious just sitting. She wonders if you quiz kids would have some good ideas of how she might amuse herself during these long hours. Ruthie, what would you say?
Well, my best friend used to babysit around our neighborhood, and I used to sometimes go over with her. And she had very nice bosses, you might call them, because they let her lie in the bed and listen to the radio, eat up all their candy, prowl in the icebox, read their books. She just always had something to do. We had a lot of fun when we did it together.
Oh, I should say so. Well, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And Joel?
Well, you could play solitaire or a one-handed game of checkers.
A one-handed game of checkers. Now, there would be something. You certainly would be on the move, wouldn't you? And, Patrick, how about...
Well, we used to have a babysitter when Sheila and I were rather young. And when she didn't have anything to do, she'd clean out the icebox. And So I think we, I don't approve of that. Oh, I suppose mothers and fathers wouldn't like to have their icebox cleaned out.
No.
But there should be magazines. You can listen to the radio. Most parents let them do that. Or there should be some pop or something in the icebox. Oh, they can enjoy themselves very much.
Uh-huh. And Lonnie?
Most babysitters I've seen have brought along homework or something. It's not something they like to do especially, but sometimes they have to do a little homework.
Yeah,
but,
well, I said that she'd finished her homework, and then, you know.
Yeah, well, they can always bring a good book along or something. And, of course, I think that there's nothing to stop a babysitter from asking the one who has the baby what is permissible in the house, and sometimes they'll let you clean out the icebox and look at the books and everything.
Yes, real nice. Uh-huh.
Otherwise, you can always turn on the radio real low or something. There's
so you can still hear the radio and then still hear the baby, too, huh? And, Melvin, what do you think?
Some people like to have good puzzles in the house, so maybe she could work out some of those. Those are pretty amusing, I'm certain, the puzzles, because they're hard, and she'd have to figure out.
Yes, yeah. Take some time to work them out. Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure that you've given little 12-year-old Marianne Hart of Boise, Idaho, some very good advice, and I hope she works some of those things out. Now, Ethel Barnes of Kansas City, Missouri, has noticed that President Truman has flown home for Christmas. If he flew in a direct line from Washington to Kansas City, where his plane landed, would he fly due west? Or north of west, or south of west? Joel?
Well, I believe Washington's just below the 39th parallel, and Kansas City's just above it, so he'd fly just a tiny bit north of west, say, around 1/6 of a degree, and since the degree's around 70 miles, that'll be more than 10 miles.
Well, that's good enough for me, Joel. Yes, sirree, that's all right. Now, can you tell over what states the president's plane flew from Washington, D.C. to Kansas City, Joel?
Well, he would fly over Virginia,
yes.
West Virginia, Ohio,
mm-hmm.
Kentucky,
yes.
Indiana, Illinois, mm-hmm. and Missouri.
And you left one state out now.
Let's see, I'll go over the list. Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio.
No, you. Your very first state should be the one.
Let's see.
One before
Virginia.
Huh? One
Virginia
before,
was
no coaching from the audience.
Oh, what, Maryland then?
Maryland. That's right. Yeah, that's one you left out. All right, fine. Now this question is from Marilyn Turner of St. Louis, Missouri. Have you heard someone talking about a gaffoon, a garbage can, and a grease pusher? What might you think his business was? All right, Ruthie.
Well, that would be television. Those are three of the terms in the new television vocabulary.
What is a gaffoon?
A gaffoon is a sound effects man.
That's right.
And what were the others?
Garbage can
a garbage
and the grease
can,
pusher.
A garbage can is a microwave relay transmitter.
Right.
And
absolutely,
a,
yeah.
And a grease pusher is a makeup man.
A makeup man. Wonderful, Ruthie. Wonderful. Well, then, Bell means it's time to see whether the judges are on their toes and ready to give us the answer to the question, who won this afternoon? We'll give them a minute more to figure out the final scores, and while we're waiting, here's an important message about one-a-day brand vitamins.
Have you had your vitamins today? Are you giving your family the protection of one-a-day brand multiple vitamins for the winter months ahead? You buy winter coats and warm clothing as insurance against winter weather, but by all means, remember your wintertime vitamin insurance, too. Can you be sure that your diet is not low in vitamins? Don't take chances. Be sure. Take one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsule every day this winter. Easy to take, low in cost. That large family-sized package of 120 capsules costs only $3.50. The 60-capsule package, only $2. Ask your druggist for one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsules.
All right, now, quiz kids, here are your report cards. But remember, whether you win or lose, you will each receive a $100 security bond from the makers of Alka-Seltzer to help you with your future education. Remember, too, that in determining your grades, we take into consideration your age as well as the number of correct answers you gave. The judges say that as a class, you didn't miss any questions this afternoon. Patrick was first, Joel second, and Ruthie third. And that means you three will be back in our classroom next Sunday, and here to compete with you, we'll have Naomi Cooks, age 11, and Mark Mullen, age 9. And we'd like to mark all you listeners present in class next Sunday, too, so plan to be with us, won't you? Until then, this is Joe Kelly dismissing the quiz kids until next year. Goodbye, kids.
Bye, Kelly.
Listen to the quiz kids every week and listen to Alka-Seltzer's News of the World every Monday through Friday on most of these NBC stations. This is Bob Murphy speaking.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.